Hi, thank you very much, Don. Welcome, everybody. Welcome to our fourth Sunday. This is a switched out week, not my usual week, because Regina and I switched. So welcome to the fourth Sunday. Okay, we're going to just take a little minute here to say hi to everybody. We're going to play our opening song. So I did find the short version. Took a while. Let me hit share here. Everybody here. Melting into presence, overflowing effervescence, rising in love. Just a special welcome to Miley. Haven't seen her in a while. Good to see you back here, Miley. I'm glad you agreed to be my reader for today. So awesome. So let's start out with our statement of purpose. We are an assembly of equals joined in common purpose, awakening to one true self. Within an appearance of many faiths, many cultures, and many symbols, we seek to discern one truth and to rest in its embrace. And I want to highlight today the fifth core value, because the title of the message today is Judgment is a Fantasy. And our fifth core value states, we accept all forms as temporary appearances permitted through enduring awareness of self. We live this value by honoring all appearances and all experiences while continually reflecting upon changeless truth. And those include experiences that are both pleasant and unpleasant. We tolerate and we with them all. Especially the ones that are challenging to us, right? Okay, so announcements. Number one, the Awakening Together Retreat House, which is right there, by the way. We closed July 1st through July 7th. We're closing these days based upon our intention to maintain a sacred environment at the retreat house. There is a huge music festival here in La Vida on the 4th of July weekend, and we anticipate it would be difficult to provide a quiet, sacred environment during that time. We extended the closure a couple of days so our retreat house caretaker, Cheryl Kaplan, could take a well-deserved vacation during that time. Our next retreat at the Awakening Together Retreat House is a self-inquiry retreat, which will be held from July 10th to the 14th. It's based on the teachings of Ramana Maharshi, an Indian sage. At this retreat, you will learn to the subtleties of self-inquiry. You will participate in guided self-inquiry, meditative self-inquiry, self-inquiry with a partner, journaling based on self-inquiry, and you will contemplate and discuss quotes by Ramana Maharshi. And the purpose of this retreat is to help make advances in the process of self-inquiry in a really short time. So when you go home from the retreat, you'll be able to use self-inquiry more effectively to abide in true self and detach from the false self. This retreat is led by our very own Regina Dawn Akers. For more information, please visit the atretreathouse.org site. And it's also listed on our website as well. The next announcement is we are currently in the nomination phase for our member board of trustees elections. We do need your help in electing two people to the board who are active and invested in the future of Awakening Together. You have 1 week remaining to nominate yourself or some other member to the member board of trustees. You may do so by sending an email to regina@awakening-together.org. You may also support a candidate who has already been nominated by sending an email to regina@awakeningtogether.org. Please take time to visit the current nominee page under the to read menu of our website. The nominees need your supporting votes in order to be placed on the ballot. The nomination support process will close June 2nd. Okay, and the next announcement, we have a very special event in the sanctuary on Sunday, June 2nd at 8 p.m., which is 5 p.m. Pacific. There will be four new members ordained as an Awakening Together minister. They're going to be Dawn Green, Rayla Daniels, Shauna Summers, and Bev Toporowski. Please come and support them as they take the Awakening Together minister's oath. The event will be hosted by Reverend Carrie Christensen, Reverend Helen Avery, Reverend Jay McCormick, who served as facilitators of the MPP cycle. Hope you can join us. Lastly, please come join us for the movie discussion group tonight, which meets at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. I'll be hosting that. I'm taking that over from Jacqueline. We're going to be discussing the movie group Dark City, so I hope you had a chance to watch it. Check out the play sheet, fill it out, and share your thoughts. Manuela also wrote several posts in her General Healing Year 3 journal that I will be sharing too in that group. She will be unable to join us. She had some really good insights that add to the discussion, so I'll be sharing those as well. So if you haven't watched it, you can still watch it today and come and join us. Okay, so let's go into a prayer. Dear God, Father, Mother, God, Creator, Spirit, all that is, I open my heart and my mind to you and to all that is. I trust the wisdom and guidance that comes from this one true source and affirm that this is my only guide. I put forth my trust and my willingness to walk this path of purification and healing that shall make way clear the experience of living in truth eternally. Okay, we're going to have our opening song. This is I See God in You by Josh Wilson.
A ripe young age of 94, I see her in her garden every day. Still sings in the Sunday choir, reads her King James line by line, and tells me, son, Jesus is the way. Her husband passed in 85, but she still keeps their love alive. Kisses his photograph every night, says I'll see you soon. Ooh, Lily Grace, I see God in you. Said this is Gabriel. The doctors say he shouldn't be alive. Some may call him special needs, but Jesus calls him royalty. Just look and you'll see heaven in his eyes. He was quiet as the dawn till I start in my first song. He clapped his hands and danced all night long like there was nothing wrong. Ooh, Gabriel, I see God in you. Ooh, insecurities. Believe me, you are not the only one. I get scared to look inside myself. I know that darkness oh so well. I sometimes wonder if I'm too far gone. But even in my doubts, I'll choose to hold on to this truth, that God is making broken things brand new. Even me and you. Ooh, oh, I see God in you.
Okay, that was awesome. All right, let's introduce some a person that maybe not a lot of you know, some of you know. Reverend Jennifer Miley Nahulu, a friend from who I took MPP courses with as part of the very first MPP group that did exist here in Awakening Together with Regina. So I want to welcome you, Jennifer, into the Zoom room. I know this is new for you. Hopefully you can, we don't have technical problems, but if you have any questions, we can get it figured out. Hey, there's your face. Hey, Jennifer, what's up?
I've already unmuted her.
Oh, you've already unmuted her. Okay, so take the mic, Miley.
Okay. Hi, everyone. I know I'm never in here, but for me, it's very, very early. I mean, Regina's, you guys are in Colorado too, but I usually sleep in till like noon on Sundays. So am I to read the whole chapter?
Yeah, NTI Romans 2.
The whole thing, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll just start then. Judgment is a fantasy. It is like a game that you have played, but it means absolutely nothing at all. It is like a toy, a building block that has given structure to your curious thought. It allowed you to create alleyways and byways and to try this and to try that. But it was all within the field of fantasy, an amazing expression of curiosity. And it was never any more than that. Imagine yourself with this idea, for this was the idea that you had. What if nothing was as it is? What if I could make something completely different and make it whatever I want? What would that be like? Your idea was just a curiosity, a daydream of exploration, and really nothing at all, since the first question asked sets up an impossible hypothesis and one that can never be true. But in your freedom and the innocence of your curiosity, you set out to think a little more. You needed a tool to create this experience that would allow you to explore. The building block that you made was judgment or decision, and this became a new creative force. It allowed for experience without creation, and from judgment, experience was made. With judgment made to build experience, you needed something to judge. You needed a place to start making this experience of something different than it is. So you took what you had, an idea in the mind, and you applied judgment to that. When judgment was applied, something new was made. So your experience began immediately. Suddenly before you were two options set. And for the first time ever, you had a decision to make. Your curiosity was nothing and did not mean a thing, so nothing at all had changed. This was an option given to consider, and it offered the opportunity to laugh. But the second was different and led deeper into the game. It was an opportunity to believe that the idea had become so, and nothing is as it was. Struck with this second option, you became engrossed by it, and you tossed the first option aside. Faced with reality and the option of fantasy, you chose to step into the fantasy. It was at this point that you began to forget, and you practiced the game of judgment again. But this time, in error, you judged yourself for what was not true, and you believed your judgment of yourself. This is how you seem to step into a script, then lose your way out again. But it is just a script and nothing more at all. There is nothing at all to fear. Judgment is the tool that built the world, and judgment keeps the experience alive. But judgment came from nothing but an impossible idea and the desire to think about it some more. All judgment is fantasy. Judgment spins fantasy. Judgment is a way to explore. It is a game of folly and nothing more. It has no purpose and makes nothing real. Judgment is a web of meaningless thoughts given only the power of fantasy and absolutely nothing more. The game you have made to test your curiosity is a game with rules and options. This gives you the ability to continue to make judgments and to continue to play the game. The rules and options are important for another reason as well. The game that you play is a game of guilt and innocence, right and wrong, good and evil. To play this game in this way, there must be rules and options, and there needs to be winners and losers. This is a game that lets you express the guilt you feel for playing the game while mitigating your feeling of guilt at the same time. In this way, the game is an attempt to be gentle with yourself. It is an expression of love. You believe that you are guilty based on your own judgment of yourself for the idea and game that you made. But you also know to be gentle with yourself, as both are in the game that you play. However, the game that you play has become like a trap. For within the rules and the options, the good and the evil, the building block of judgment continues to be made. As your guilt is expressed with your desire to be gentle, the web of belief grows dense. That which is fantasy seems to be real. Its drama seems to be life. This is how you seem to become that which you aren't at all. None of it is true. None of it is you. And yet you believe it is so. It is this we must look at and this we must let go, because it is false and only believed to be true.
Thank you, Miley. Beautiful reading. You know, I attended a week-long retreat here in La Vida at the retreat house led by Regina Dawn Akers just the other week. And there was a point where on Thursday, I had a couple of us had a pretty dramatic insights and sort of sinking with not just in the intellect, but in the heart with a lot of the ideas that are taught here in this chapter of Romans 2. And it was Regina that mentioned to me that the insights we were having related a lot to Romans 2. So Romans 2 is kind of up for me and a few of us lately here. So I thought this was a perfect chapter to have as the reading and the topic for the homily today on Sunday. You know, as we go back to the beginning of this, you'll hear overtones of teachings that you've heard in Course in Miracles, such as verse 8, this was an option given to consider, and it offered the opportunity to laugh. You remember from the Course in Miracles how it teaches, we forgot to laugh, right? Like, oh, everything can't be anything but oneness, come on, that's silly. But instead of doing that, we went ahead and went into it. And we said, well, let's explore this thing that's other than oneness. Which, of course, here we are, right? It's a radical idea. It really is. You know, we're not guilty for imagining this. It was an exploration of our curiosity. And that's such an awesome teaching. It even says amazing expression of curiosity. Okay, so we only thought we were guilty for it. That's it. Repeatedly it's stated, we only thought we were guilty for it. That's what we have as the imagined sin. It's the thought, oh gosh, this is something wrong that I did here. But it's not. Nothing we did was wrong. Our imagining of our curiosity of what would it be like if everything was completely different is not bad. It's not a sin. And because consciousness itself, I'm talking about the collective consciousness, not Kathy Smith or Regina Donakers or George Maddox had this thought. I'm talking about the collective consciousness had this thought, because we are all one. It's one consciousness appearing as these different little people, right? Sticking out of a little ball, little extensions from the one. And we're reassured that it really meant nothing at all. And as individual seeming consciousness within the one consciousness, our whole mind is going to operate on these judgments, right? Because that's sort of a seed idea that that Regina calls it the I am bad thought. But the good news is that I am bad thought is just a fantasy. You really aren't bad. As consciousness had the thought, I'm guilty for doing this, which is a false thing. That's the first false thought. Consciousness was not bad, but because consciousness did that and had that thought, it's in all of our minds. I'm a programmer, and when you program something, there's something called inheritance, where if you program an object, every object that comes out of that object is going to have the same properties as what the parent object had, like parent, like children. So in consciousness, that thought of I am bad then gets inherited in the seed of all of our minds, all of the false selves, automatically. It's in there. So one of the things I asked Regina was, well, what is it when we completely get rid of this I am bad thought? And it's basically, you don't have the guilt anymore. You've let it go. It's the I am bad is means I am guilty or bad for just whatever. It's just a seed thought that's so core in there. It's going to filter into everything, right? And the biggest insight was that when we had this thought, like, what if nothing is as it is? Regina called it the Big Bang. I just called it atoms were created. You know, these building blocks, these Lego blocks of atoms in which to build a world and a bodies and all of the genetics and emotions and all of this land we're on and the sky and all of this was brought into being because we needed a place to experience. And it's the infinite creative nature, an infinite intelligent nature of mind that's from the infinite creativity of consciousness that brought it about. And we spend a lot of time. It's funny how in our very daily lives, the mind itself has a relationship with the present moment that either says, I want to get away from the present moment, I'm going to reject the present moment, I'm at war with the present moment, fight or flight with the present moment. It's got to be something other than as it is. So again, inheritance, the whole thought of consciousness itself. What if something was different than as it is? All of these little false selves coming out of consciousness are all going to have that seed in the mind. The last thing they're going to want to do is be present here now and just let go of the thought of what if something's different than as it is. What is imagination? That's me thinking something's got to be better than what it is right now. I had something come up this morning where I got triggered with something I read, which I realized was later just something I was making in my head. But it brought up a feeling. And, until we're purified, until we've gotten these thoughts out of our mind and let them go, we're still down these alleyways and byways, right? And Jacqueline's talking about being in the wobble a lot. We got to go through that wobble. We got to be going through those field of fantasy, as the chapter 2 talked about, walk through them. You know, I got some affirmations that I wanted to share. They weren't really affirmations. It was more like statements that I'm to state out loud every day. One of them was, I am dreaming right now. Number two, I am willing to let go of the side of the dream and know God. Number three, to assist in this process, I am also willing to be less interested in the dream itself so that I may know God. And to repeat these 10 times out loud every day. Now, that relationship with the present moment, being with what is a way in our dream that we can practice the original, practice truth, because we're letting go of the thought that something needs to be different. Memory thoughts are ways we try to think something should be different than what it is right now. Concepts themselves, I mean, all concepts are something different than what it is right now. You know, everything here is temporary. We all know that. Our bodies die. Our prized possessions collect dust and get older. You know, you have the mind always wants something different, something new, something changed. You know, the Course in Miracles teaches us make this year different by making everything the same. And to the mind, that's a boring thought. To consciousness, truth is telling us that the idea that what if nothing as it is just nothing but a fantasy. That's it. You know, this losing interest in exploring these alleyways and byways is something I've been contemplating a lot lately and just sitting with. You know, when I meditate, I hope when you meditate too, you feel content. You feel that you don't want to change anything. You have an abiding presence of God in your heart when you're in that space. I think we all know that that feels amazing and that it carries us in our day. You know, and when we let that be enough to satisfy us and make us feel content, that's when we're beginning to let go of the dream and letting go of these alleyways and byways. You know, what we see with our senses, like Morpheus said in The Matrix, is just electrical signals received by our brain. That's it. Our emotions are neurochemicals. There was a cartoon movie last year, a couple years ago, about that. These different characters represented these different emotions, and it was like all these different, you know, our whole body is a machine. It's a mechanism, even our emotions. And of course, we want to call that our life. We want to think that's our life. We want to think this is real. We want to be happy in our dream. But there's a call. Yeah, Inside Out, Don is saying that's the movie. And there was that little depressed girl character. and the happy one, the sad, there's all these different personifications of the emotion. Yeah, joy needed sadness. You know, what is true has to be true. What is true can never not be true. What comes and goes, what's here and gone, is not real. Our emotions change. We don't need to put stock in it. We just don't. For me, the process of awakening seems like unplugging from all these really core ideas that have powered my life seemingly for what I think of as my whole life, is unplugging from them, letting them go. And I'm finding that the stillness can be present during all of activities. It can be present during anything. I can be doing my programming work. I can be talking to Shauna or going out on a hike or whatever I'm doing. And it's underneath everything. The observing awareness is underneath it all. And until I'm done with purification totally, I won't be able to live in that constantly. But the tool we have is this life, this body. You know, there's another part that was presented here in NTI. It's talking about when judgment was applied. So you took, well, just the sentence before that, you took what you had, an idea in mind, and you applied judgment to it. And I guess you could say that created the fourth principle of mind, as according to Regina's teachings of the four principles of God. You know, and when we think about what option we are to take, that's the result of the seed judgment and the thought that we had made, you know, a mistake comes from. You know, that's the little leaf over the genitals of Adam and Eve. You know, it's the thought that you were guilty, that you felt shame, that you thought that you'd done something wrong, that you'd created this judgment setup. And so, just like there was a movie called The Game with, I forget what his name was. This was back in the 80s. And I think his son set his father, Michael Douglas, his Sean Penn was acted as the son that set Michael Douglas up on this huge game that Michael Douglas thought was real. And he got kidnapped and thrown into a coffin and all these crazy things. And Michael Douglas really thought it was all happening. There was a very elaborate practical joke that, you know, almost killed him. But I'm almost thinking like life itself is this elaborate setup we created, right? We believed it. And then we got sucked in deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. So this process of awakening for me is a getting out of the engrossment. It's a stepping out of the engrossment. Letting go of the script. There's a movie I watched called Adjustment Bureau, which is actually going to be the movie for next month, where it's all about scripts. I don't have to take what happens in my script quite so seriously. I don't have to take the ups and downs and the lefts and rights quite so seriously. Because like it teaches here, judgment's the tool we use to build the world. And it's what keeps us alive. And if it only came from our desire to think about it more, then us stopping thinking stops the spinning of the fantasy of this judgment. Stops it spinning. I just don't need to do it. I get it slowly when I can remember, just gently come back. Just stop. You know, this game was set up with these rules and options. You know, I screwed up. I did something wrong. You know, that's the whole core of it. That's the core of all of it. You know, the mistakes we make aren't turning left instead of right. The mistakes we make are getting mad at someone, yelling at them, reacting, acting hurtfully towards another or towards yourself, or ignoring yourself or others. These are the mistakes. But they don't really cause the hurt, because nothing we can do can cause any hurt. Even though it may seem that way to us, we're all making it up. The part that it talks about here that I didn't originally get on that note is about seeing other people as having the problem. And because we wanted to judge, right, and we don't want to judge ourselves, we had to shift it onto somebody else. Well, you know, this other person had the problem. They're the ones that are wrong. They're the ones that made the mistake. We can cast it onto other people. And that way we can be gentle with ourselves and not blame ourselves for the things we think we're doing. So we can still express the guilt and keep it off of ourselves under the illusion that you're separate from me. So what the NTI is teaching us is, in this way, the game is an attempt to be gentle with yourself. And that's the part I didn't get. I was like, I went on tilt. I didn't even understand that. So because I believe I'm guilty, which is a false belief, I'm not really guilty for having this thought. And because I also know to be gentle with myself, I blame someone else for the problem. You know, and that's where it says it's become like a trap. And these, you know, if you do this, then I have to do that. You know, these are the false beliefs. The quid pro quo, all of these rules of engagement we have to, you know, entertain to go with and keep this judgment thing alive. And so when Jesus teaches turn the other cheek and forgive, you're saying I have no self here you can hurt. I can't be offended. I can't be put off, which I'm certainly not in that state yet. I'm hopefully taking steps there, but I'm not there yet. You know, this is just love, God's love. It doesn't stop. It's like, stop believing my own BS. Stop these judgments. Have no basis, because we're one in consciousness. Nothing has changed. So the biggest way we can stop doing this and reverse these laws is to stop playing the game. And that game is the judgment game, right? Which the Course in Miracles calls forgiveness. Another way of looking at it is to stop playing the game of judgment. Stop finding fault. And Regina wrote, this is how we know the teaching is truth. We can see it in all of us. The I am bad thought, the idea that something different would be better, the constant spinning of mind, judgment rather than being. And if we look deeper, being in spite of all this is completely untouched. We don't have to believe the truth. It is right here in each of us. And by us stopping believing the truth, we cease to play the game, and we reverse these laws that made the game in the first place. We stop believing that we are guilty for having expressed this curiosity. We see innocence. We knoweth not what we do. And so the key is to make letting go of this fantasy like the practice. Make it the practice. You know, one thing I've been doing lately is when I notice my mind spinning, I will just close my eyes and breathe and just come right back here, right back here. Not to push the other thoughts away, but to redirect my attention in the present when I remember that, when I see that. And I ask, who is thinking these thoughts? Who is thinking this fantasy thought? And it just goes away because there is no one there thinking it. And I can just come right back. I can come right back every single time and let that light shine through. You know, and in that, I feel love. I feel loved. I feel loving. I feel everything's going to be okay. I feel reassured. I feel that there's such power in the ability to just redirect and choose in the moment. I don't have to get caught into it. I can just come right back here where I've always been the whole time and see that light. You know, take the little cloth and rub that lens a little clearer. To me, that's stepping out of the game. Every time I choose to do that, and really the I am talking about is my attention. My eye is my attention. That's where my attention's at. If my attention's on the present moment, that's what's getting fed, energy, now, truth, presence, eternity. Because in the present moment is eternity. There's no past in the present moment. You're not thinking about yesterday in the present moment. You're just being. You're having a non-conceptual direct experience. you're just not thinking. You know, there's not criteria that experiencing this love is dependent upon. I don't have to meet a certain criteria to experience this love. You can have screwed up. You could have screwed up in the worst ways imaginable in life, and you can still at any moment come back and just breathe and be in the moment and let it all go. Literally that quickly, literally that easily. There's literally nothing holding you or binding you to your perceived faults or mistakes, or binding you to continue judging the mistakes, even the big ones you think others have made. That thought is what's keeping us in prison. There's nothing stopping us from just letting it go, but our own false belief. That's it. You know, we talk about God's love extending to us completely and totally because we are those little extensions of the one consciousness. How can it not? We are one. We're with God. Always have been. Consciousness, I guess you could say, is the Son of God itself, resting in the eternal. I mean, what but grace does God know? What but love does God know? What but perfection does God know? So we made the mistakes in the dream, but it's still a dream. Maybe I became a rich man in the dream, or had a sad life in the dream. But what does it matter in the dream? You wake up, oh, it was just a dream. Every part of me is welcome in God and welcome in the heart and the smile of God. You know, we're taught that God's love is eternal and that can never be taken back and never be taken away. And it's given without exception and without reservation. And when through me is expressed that love, I know I'm clear. I know when I can love someone despite what I think they've done, because there's no me there to be offended. There's no me there to be hurt. And God doesn't have an ego. He gets pissed one day and feels good the next day. It's constant. Absolutely constant. Like the sound of that train, choo-choon, 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 you know. Ride that train. And it's such a good news to know that it's just a belief. It's just a thought. It's not real. We weren't really guilty. We're not, you know, even the greatest mistakes we've made were just made out of a misunderstanding of something we thought was real, which can absolutely be forgiven and is forgivable. The worst thing you've done to even your own loved ones, or even a pattern of behavior you think you've engaged in over a period of time that you think is destructive or bad, or even destructive to yourself, can be let go of if you choose to. I mean, these rules and options are the things we've adopted and made up that we think we have to hold on to. You know, God lives within us now and forever. God had never died within us. It's there. We've just forgotten it. And at any moment we can remember. You know, something that was nothing multiplied a million times is still nothing. I like that song, nothing from nothing is nothing. An illusion multiplied a billion times is still just an illusion. You know, in mathematics, if you take a number like a million and you take it times zero, you know what it becomes? Zero. Anything times zero becomes nothing. So the quantity of it doesn't matter. The quantity, the amount of mistakes you think you've made doesn't actually matter. Now, I don't fully believe that yet, but I'm saying this to teach myself too, and to sink it into my mind so I may be in that truth. Because what we teach and we talk about is for us, right? What we teach, we need to learn. So the awakening process, the atoning process, that is the remembrance. Our atonement occurs when we remember. We've atoned for the sins when we remember. We've repented from the sins when we remember that it's not a sin. It's not a guilty sin in the traditional church sense that we grew up with. It's just a mistake. You know, there is no mistakes in the eyes of God, right? God doesn't see sin and mistake. He sees only love and truth. We were never in a state of sin ever as our truth. You know, we want to make ourselves better a lot. You know, this is the big drive. I want to improve my life. I want to get better. I want to change. I want to make a better human, a better personality. I need to make these changes. I can't, you know, I got to do these things differently. That's another trap, okay? You're never going to win that game. That's just another game. That's wanting something to be different than as it is right now. That's just more of the same thing. It's no different than wanting to have more stuff or wishing, spending all your time wishing things would have been different. It's just another game we play. All truth is just sitting there tapping its fingers on the desk the whole time. Going, hey, I'm here. Hello. I'm here. I'm here. Hello. See me. Hello. I'm right here. Truth is there the whole time. So these rules that we've invented are what allow us to continue this judgment. We keep going with it, right? We keep going with it. So it helps me to remember that, to remind myself, you know, that which is nothing cannot be made real. You know, the Velveteen Rabbit can never be made real. Pinocchio can never be made real. That's like Pinocchio wants to be a real kid. You can't make illusion real, but we try. We try to with our judgment. We try to make it real with our judgment. And that's the game we play. And when we do that, we deny the truth of the presence of awareness right here, right now. And when you just take a minute and feel into this and just be in that space away from your judgments, and away from the games, and move through that, and away from fantasy and away from fear, because as soon as we get to that fantasy, we're afraid that we might not have it, or if we do have it, then we're afraid we're going to lose it, and what if this gets taken away from me, and all this, these are the games we play. This is what allows it to continue. Fear is the product of this fantasy. One of the insights I had lately was how incredibly closely fear follows this fantasy. Like you can imagine like an ox pulling a cart, you know? The cart's going to be tied to the ox, so it's going to pull the cart. Like they're all one and the same thing. So if we engage in these thoughts, these concepts, the fantasy, inevitably, right behind it is going to come the fear. You cannot separate it. The mind's going to think that it's going to give you hope, but it could work out, right, Jay? It might work out. It could work out in your favor, right? The situation is going to go the way I want it to, right? But with that is the fear. You know, in General Healing Year 3, there's been a lot of quotes that have used the word treachery lately. it's not a word I've heard or thought about much lately, but I looked it up, and it talks about the readiness to betray. Like, who wants to have a friend in your human life that you know is going to betray you? You're not going to want to hang out with that person. You're not going to want them as a friend when you know they're going to betray you, stab you in the back at the first moment they get, right? I mean, yes, that would be a forgiveness opportunity, but let's just go into this analogy for a minute. Yet we imagine, and yet we engage in all these fantasies, and they are treacherous. They will immediately betray you, because right away, there comes in fear, doubt, all this other stuff to cause you upset, and that's the game. The cart following the ox. So if we want to engage in those fantasies, we are going to experience fear. And so it's like an addiction, you know? We're letting go of it. We're just letting go of it. You know, and that universe that's within us is there. That presence, that oneness is right here, right now. Outside of these fantasies, which the fears will always follow. You know, this motivates me to want to practice. It does. It motivates me to want to be in that presence whenever I remember it. Whenever I notice my mind is away, I can come back. No forcefulness, no alarms, no trying to get yourself to remember. Just simply remember when you remember. Practice it when you remember. Come back. And in that way, I build it as a new habit in my life, even apart from my daily meditation practice, even apart from dedicated times where I practice. It's just throughout the day. It's just when I remember. And remember that all eternity is within me. All eternity is within me. And letting myself be moved in that way. You know, that's one of the teachings later in Romans. It talks about the story of Jesus and how Jesus was resurrected, you know, within the mind of everyone. And that if you close your eyes, you can find Jesus there because he's within you, or find Ramana there, or Buddha, because they're within the mind. They're within everyone. Giving up the small self, you rejoin the collective. And if I want to judge, I want to be in the fantasy. Okay? And that's good to admit that. But then it's also good to remember how treacherous this fantasy is, and how death in the body is what awaits you. You know, we have to die before we die. I dieth daily. Giving up judgment is dying before you die. You know, being in that Holy Spirit as the pure reflection of truth within self before I die is giving up the game, is letting go. Thoughts about the world, of things I think I should have done or wanted, or etc. You know, all these teachings that we read and study, they're all saying the same thing. Do you guys get that? I mean, that's one of the reasons I love being a part of MPP, facilitating all the times I have, is it's all these different teachings you can see from such a different perspective that it's all saying the same thing. It's all saying the same thing. Give up this dream. Give up your judgments. Give up your thoughts of the guilt. Because judgment is tied to guilt. If I judge you've done something wrong, then you're guilty. I have the I am that seed, I am bad thought from all of consciousness came from the thought of guilt at the level of consciousness. So it's going to show up in every one of our minds because we're all just extensions of that same one consciousness. You know, what is it? What came to me was to contemplate how can I live a life that's just content? Period. That's what we all want. We just want to be happy. And our treacherous mind tries to lead us on these games of having a certain situation in life that we think is going to make us happy. But it's never going to make you happy. Any situation in life, every relationship will have so many challenges. Every job that you even love is going to have treacherous challenges. Everything in the world is going to have treacherous challenges because it's filled with that same seed of judgment. The only way to contentment and happiness is to let the small self go. That's it. How else can you be content? You want to hang out with a treacherous friend and not think you're going to get stabbed in the back? Of course you are. It's going to make your life miserable. Our mind is what's made our life miserable. Our judgment, thought, and the seed is what's made, is the cause of all suffering and unhappiness. I mean, all of it. I mean, it's taken me a lot of years to finally see that, not just as an intellectual thought, but really internalize it and go, you know, wow. Buddhism, Hinduism, Christianity, all these teachings are pointing to that same thing. The mind itself is the cause of the suffering. It's the belief. There's got to be something different here than oneness. I don't want this oneness crud. I want something separate. Okay, fine. Express your curiosity with infinite intelligence. Have a body. Have a world. You'll die in that body. You'll have a lot of suffering, but if that's what you want, okay. Have your fantasy. And then there comes a point where it's like, well, maybe there's something else, right? And then you really start practicing. But we're, the group that we're talking to here, the folks listening to this broadcast right now, are well down that path, right? We're all well down that path, many years of practice. And we're at the point where we really got to start going deeper with our decisions to let go of mind, right? Take those next steps, right? And I'm saying this for myself, letting go of judgment. You know, and I had a judgment this morning. I don't have judgments as often, but I did. I had a judge this morning. So until they stop, I'm not done purifying. And I guess it may trail off after a while, make a little while. But it's certainly a lot less than what it was. It's tapered off. And at any point, I can just choose to remember and come back to eternity right here, right now, with no guilt, no repercussions, no prison sentence I need to take. No. I'm forgiven right now. I am redeemed through my practice and remembrance of truth. I am atoned through my remembrance of truth. That is how my atonement happens. It doesn't have to be on a specific day. It doesn't have to be in a certain holiday. It doesn't have to be a certain event. It can literally be any time I choose to or remember it. I am dreaming right now. I am willing to let go of the sight of this dream and know God. To assist in this process, I am also willing to be less interested in the dream itself so that I may know God. Which the interest part is talking about my desires. Because there's no buffer. There's nobody telling me what I should want except the mind, right? But who's the I that's saying that? It's an imposter. All I really want is to know truth. All consciousness wants is to know itself, to wake up to itself. That's it. That's all consciousness really wants. That's all consciousness ever wanted. Any other desire is fake. It's an imposter. When I give this up, I die before I die. It's very generic. It's very simple. There is no religion. there is no philosophy. It's just a willingness to do it, right? How much am I willing to allow? How much? It's okay. How much? Whatever that is. My imagination plus my desire creates the world I see. That's it. Little atoms rearranged. The atoms in my house are better than the atoms in your house. The atoms that make up my body are better than the atoms that make up your body. No, they're not. This is all just vibrating atoms that have no meaning. It's just a dream, vibrating atoms. We only give this meaning ourselves, inventing artificially judgment. Let us let this go. Let's let this go. Let's let our judgments go. We don't need it anymore. It's treacherous, hurtful. We don't need this anymore. We don't want it anymore. So as I pray that I may let my desires go, I hope we can all do this together and be that love to each other, be in that space, and stop playing the game, right? Because each of us is part of that consciousness. We're little extensions of it, little imaginary extensions of it. Clearing our little darkness to light, to where we can just shine light. So that will conclude the message for today. Thank you for listening. We're going to now play a contemplation song as we sit with this. Whatever, I hope some part of it touched you and went in. I was very unprepared for today. A lot of what I just said to you now was literally in the moment. I really only picked out the chapter that we're going to talk about. So a lot of this was just spontaneous. So I got a lot out of this. I hope you did too. So we're gonna listen to a song now called Still Small Voice by Lou Doty. We enter the contemplation. You can also, if you want to donate and feel guided to do so, Don will put up a link for the donation.
A still small voice within me. It whispers things that always comfort me. I am the love, I am the peace within you. Follow me. A spirit deep within me. It always speaks of truth and harmony. We are the same. There is no separation. Follow me. Universe within me. It tells me things no one would dare to say. I am the life, I am the resurrection. Follow me. Follow me, yeah, yeah, yeah. Follow me.
It up to any sharing fellowship for the last 6 minutes we've got. Anyone want to take the mic? Okay, Regina, your mic.
All right, thank you very much, Jay. I just want to say that was really powerful. I think you did a wonderful job of expressing the insight that you had at the retreat. It all came out. There was so much, you know, the fact that the I am bad thought is absolutely not true. The fact that stopping playing the game is paramount, that the way you do that is letting go of your judgments, surrendering into the moment. I mean, it was all just brilliant. But I think what I would like to express now is my experience of watching the insight happen. We were on a retreat in La Vida. And this retreat was the type of retreat that I would like to start having more and more and more of. In fact, I would like to train Shauna and Jay and Jacqueline and any other minister who's interested in leading these retreats to lead these retreats. This is what I call the Satsang and Silence Retreat. And it was really a retreat of giving space. I mean, that's what it's not a teaching. It's not a workshop. It's not intellectual, which is what allowed the insight, I think. What we did each day is we went somewhere beautiful and we split up. We went in different directions and we spent, you know, anywhere from an hour and a half to 3 hours absolutely alone. At most, people had a book to do some reading and contemplation, but there was also just meditation and just sitting and looking, just looking. And then we would get together for very brief periods of satsang, you know, just discussion, question, answer, sharing of what occurred during our time apart. But mostly it was space. I mean, I don't know how else to describe the week. It was space. And what happened on the fourth day, our contemplations. You know, I can't remember if it started with Jay or if it started with Shauna, but someone began to hit on this insight, the timing, that idea, and just how powerful what all is packed in that teaching. And it spread around the table. I watched, you know, Jay, I watched Shauna, I watched Cheryl have direct insights. And what I mean by insight is something they'd already known intellectually, that had been there intellectually for years, at least. You know, it's not the first time they'd heard of the Tiny Mad Idea or NTI Romans or any of this stuff, right? It dropped. It dropped. And when it drops, you shift. And your practice does become more real. It becomes more genuine because it has more meaning. And I watched it happen. I just sat there and watched all three of them, boom, 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 a genuine shift happen. And I know for a fact that genuine shift happened because they had a week of space. And this is what I think the retreat house was really, really, really created for, us for people to come and have a week of space and just enough support to help facilitate these insights that in effect change your life forever. So I hope that we will have more of this type of retreat. I also just want to say something about money really quick. Right now we're paying for the retreats. You know, the last retreat, Shauna and Jay paid for, to be honest, even I paid for it because I decided I was going to be on retreat. And the reason we're paying for the retreats is because we have a house to pay for. Like, the house isn't free. That's just the bottom line. But as more people come to the retreats, we'll be able to pay less and less, which means we'll charge less and less. The because all we need is the money to pay for the house. You understand? We're not trying to fill any coffers anywhere. Right now, it seems like with only a few coming, we're having to plot to go. But as more people come and take advantage of this retreat house and of this space, have these insights, we'll actually each be able to pay less. So I really encourage you all to come. It was a powerful week of doing nothing. And it was the doing nothing that allowed the insight that creates genuine movement on the spiritual path. And Jay, thank you so much for then teach. I did ask them after they had the insight. I said, okay, now what I want you to do is I want you to all go back and teach it, because you know you don't want to lose the insight. You want to teach it and teach it and teach it until it can't be lost. So that's the advantage of the sanctuary. So Jay, thank you for doing that. Sean, assume that you're doing that as well, even though I haven't heard you yet because I was on vacation. So I want to thank you all for doing that. And I release them.
Thank you, Regina. I agree. It was because I had repeated time and space, and it was a genuine inner shift. It really was. And we don't really have time for the closing song, but I'll express gratitude. Thank you all for being here. Is that Jacqueline at Connie Poole's house? There she is. Hi, Jacqueline, alias Connie Poole. Yeah, I can always tell because of the white between the boards and the walls. I know she's in the. I'm really grateful for you, Regina, a lot. It was a real special week. It really was. It was a really sweet time with all of us in a group, and also just with self, with God. And there was a real shift. So, giving up the mic back to you, Dawn. Wish everyone well. Bye-bye.